Hello, and welcome to Working Together with Kelly Elkins. I'm your host, Kelly Elkins, your Chief Operating Officer for Maine Health. In this new podcast series, I will be joined each episode by guests who are participating on teams focused on how we can further support and enhance how we work together across Maine Health so that we can achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. In particular, we will highlight work we are doing in further development of our operating model for Maine Health and how we are creating structure and processes that make it easier for you to do your work. Today's episode is titled Protecting Our Workforce. Reducing incidences related to workplace violence is a top priority for Maine Health, so much so that we altered one of our strategies on our annual balance scorecard to reflect our commitment to doing so, creating intentional focus, leadership structure, and support of this work. In today's episode, we'll spend some time discussing our philosophy and approach to this work as a system and how we are protecting our workforce from these threats. I will share that while the information we talk about today won't be graphic in nature, we are going to talk about topics that for those who may have been impacted by workplace violence might be concerning. So listen, take it in, and if at any time it's uncomfortable for you, feel free to stop listening. But we want to make sure we're able to talk about the topic in a way that's meaningful, but also recognize for some it's a close topic and sometimes might be too close to listen to some of those details. To join me in the conversation today is Randy Steffen, Vice President of Security Services for Maine Health. Welcome to the podcast, Randy.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Randy, I for one, am extremely excited that you've joined our organization as the first system level leader for security for Maine Health. And while you are new to Maine Health, you are not new to this work. Before we dive into our plans at Maine Health around workplace violence and prevention, could you share a little bit about your own background in this space and your journey to Maine Health?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. So I'm joining the team at Maine Health from a similar role at Advocate Health. It's a 8,000-bed, 26-hospital system operating primarily in Wisconsin and Illinois. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I was fortunate to have similar roles with Kaiser Permanente, Sutter Health, and Cleveland Clinic. And I hope that sounds more like passion than it does a resume. So those are the places I've been. What I'm really enthused about is the work that I was able to participate in mm-hmm. with those teams.
So to your point, right, you've been at really large, credible systems with different environments, different geographies, and obviously you've been on the journey with those organizations and with your expertise and the journey that you've worked with in your prior roles as you come to Maine Health, you know, I think it's really important that we get an understanding of your philosophy on approach to safety and security in the healthcare setting. So prior to you joining us, as you know, we did some great work by developing a system steering committee on workplace violence and prevention. And that group has been working really hard to initiate some foundational system level work in this space. But as you've stepped in, I know you're spending a lot of time assessing our structures, our resources, et cetera, in all things security and workplace violence and prevention. Where would you say our organization is today on a maturity scale relative to our programs compared to maybe the other organizations you've been with or where you kind of see healthcare industry overall as a benchmark?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I would start by saying in each of those experiences I was afforded, they each had markedly different start points.
Sure.
And I find that that should be very helpful to Maine Health because having experience in working with a team going from point A to F mm-hmm. is different from P to Q.
Yeah.
So having said that, and I do want to begin by acknowledging the great work. For me, this is more than a soundbite. We all stand on the shoulders of the people that came before us. Mm-hmm. And the work that's been done here is incredible. In many cases, an organization has a great deal of passion, energy. I describe it like as a sea of goodwill. The key is which organizations translate that goodwill and caring into programs. For MaineHealth, using the 1 to 5 point scale of program maturity, based on the totality of what I've observed thus far, and I'm still learning, I'd say we're at about a 1.5.
Okay.
So strengths to build on, many things in flight, and a great healthy appetite to authentically and tangibly improve. So I will admit I have a nose for propaganda. I can sniff out platitudes and slogans and taglines.
Right.
That's not what I see, feel, hear, or taste here at MaineHealth. The commitment is clear.
So when you think about that maturity scale and kind of where we are, that 1.5, and obviously we're all high achievers. We want to be at a 5 right. someday, some way, somehow. You know, step back for a moment and talk about, from your experience, your philosophy and approach, what are really those guiding principles or things that we need to make sure we either enhance, develop, or expand upon to help move us, you know, along that continuum?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think these principles or themes are very meaningful. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that really shapes my mindset front and center is that we as a group need to treat the day before the way we would the day after.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sensationalize or demonize other tragedies that have happened other places, but we'd be foolish to not learn from them. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I challenge leaders with in a healthy, collegial way is, what would we do the day after? And you could say the day after what? And I'll just say the day after X. And whatever kinds of things that we know we would do, let's reverse engineer that and let's resolve to do those things today. So that one theme, treat the day before like we would the day after, to me is a very durable principle and mindset. And then as companions to that, I'm a very strong believer that we build our programs from the bedside back, and then we connect it to a system approach and reducing variation and high reliability. But if you've ever been in a cave or saw a picture, you have these stalactites. They grow from the ceiling, and the stalagmites grow from the floor with mineral deposits of the cave. And ultimately, you want to connect the two, and they form a column. Well, that's program maturity level 5. What I want to do is put our focus and energy at the point of care as a theme, and then build it back programmatically. The other thing I would say is, and this is experience-based, organizations need to effectively balance the safety and rights of patients with the safety and rights of care team members.
Yeah.
And I've seen organizations with the best of intentions be skewed one way or the other. And I just would challenge us as leaders, we have to thread the needle and do both extremely well.
Right.
And that's a very, very important aspiration. For any care team members listening, the takeaway there is the patient experience has primacy. The patient experience is critical. Empathy, compassion, all critical. And, not but, and we need to take care of ourselves and each other. And
right.
so that balance will come out in the way we approach our strategies and programming.
Could you give some examples of what some of those approaches or strategies might be to accomplish that?
So you had mentioned earlier, and I think it's worth kind of building a bridge back to it, the task forces that were formed and organized under the Steering Committee for Workplace Violence. First of all, I want to redefine task force or committee. These are places where action takes place.
Yeah.
These are not where you have a cup of coffee once a quarter.
Right.
This is not bureaucracy. This is like progress. So I really want to view those terms in that healthiest of way. And so building on that work, some of the approaches we'll take are going to be framed around the 6 task forces that we have in flight right now. Mm-hmm. Those include things like training, critical, foundational, measurement, improving the patient experience, which why is a security guy talking about that? Because the overall patient experience can reduce the volatility of our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also am really a strong advocate, and I can't go 10 minutes without saying the acronym BTAM. That's Behavioral Threat Analysis and Management. And that is a principle that is really going to be the centerpiece of our strategy.
So talk a little bit more about that. Yeah. What is threat assessment management? That's, I would say, typically not terms that we have used in healthcare, or definitely in our program at MaineHealth.
Yeah. Well, so I appreciate your interest. And the way you frame something is the way you see it. So to me, organizations talk about being data informed. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That's what happened yesterday, and how will we be informed by that? And organizations also talk about being risk rationalized, which is what might happen. That's fantastic. The third leg of the stool is what threat is in front of us right now. Uh-huh. And when I think about security programs and cameras and patrols, monitoring, screening, all of which are essential, we're looking to prevent something or we're trying to send a signal. What threat management does is it takes the person who's waving their hand saying, I want to do your organization harm, mm-hmm. which ironically oftentimes gets overlooked. It's treating that person and that threat with a level of conviction and competence that may not have occurred before. Mm-hmm. So that's what threat management is. It really stems from the 1980 era when the FBI was doing work in profiling mm-hmm. to identify serial killers. Well, that's not exactly what our use case is, but stemming from all of that literature and all that research was this methodology to assess threats, threat actors, categorize them, break them into pieces, and then more effectively mitigate them. So at the risk of sounding overly academic, that's what BTAM is. The important part is it's achievable.
Yeah.
There are people who have mastered that discipline, and we desire and aspire to infuse those competencies and mix them into the fabric of our team.
Talk a little bit about your philosophy and approach of how we interact with local law enforcement, state, federal, because particularly in Maine, we have a broad geography. A lot of our municipalities and local resources, right, are very limited, sparse, but we're in all these communities, not just urban environments like a Portland proper. So talk to us a little bit about your approach and how you see MaineHealth really forging healthy relationships with our other agencies?
That is a million-dollar question, and I hope my response is at least a couple $100,000 worth of value. So I want to start very sincerely by praising all of our law enforcement partners. It's a noble profession. It's been talked about as the people who move towards a problem, not away from it. And that's not just law enforcement, it's all first responders. It's absolutely admirable work. The challenge that exists, having said that, in private sector and public sector or government partnership is that oftentimes there's a threat in an organization, let's say MaineHealth. We have a person whose behaviors are of great concern to us, and it exceeds our capacity to effectively deal with it. But the person hasn't yet committed a crime. Mm-hmm. So it's below the threshold of law enforcement involvement. Many states have recognized this gap. The state of New York is the model of how I would wish every state operated in terms of how they're filling that gap. And that's one of the aspirations that I would hope to be a conduit for and an energizer source for, is to see with clarity that this gap exists. And it's not to demonize law enforcement, but it's to lower their threshold of involvement at the same time we raise our own capability. Mm-hmm. So in the couple of months since I've been here, I've met with representatives in the state from Maine State Police, the Information and Analysis Center, FBI, Secret Service, Homeland Security, and local chiefs of police, and my next salvo is county sheriffs. Mm-hmm. And it's well beyond my role in a specific way, but it's a part of contributing to the healthiest communities in America. Yeah. And so I don't view my left and right limit in my role as being constrained by the four walls of MaineHealth. And in partnership with others on our leadership team, I hope to be an engine for good and a disruptor to have Maine look more like New York than it currently does. And then, of course, someday be the model state for how behavioral threat assessment and management is done.
Excellent. Excellent. So kind of maybe a last question as we wrap up. You know, you talked a little bit about staffing, cameras, some of those kind of foundational elements of a program. And today we have variation, right, in how we use certain tools, capabilities across our system. Is the intent that everywhere has the exact same level of programming from clinics to hospitals to administrative locations and sites, or will there be uniquenesses, and how will we go about determining what's the right kind of infrastructure needed in our vast continuum of care and sites within Maine Health?
That's a fantastic question and perspective. I think the unifying thing from site to site, every site will be safe, or every site will be as safe as we can possibly make it. Mm-hmm. That is, to me, the unifying element that cuts across care settings and encounters. I'm a big believer in relevant, effective standards and standardization, and reducing site-to-site variation and high reliability. Having said that, the specific look and feel and device or capability from site to site can differ. And I don't view that so much as variation. I view that as intentionality. Mm. A short example might be, all of our hospitals should have a way to identify their visitor population.
Right.
How each hospital does that, what the configuration is it self-check-in, is it kiosk, is it one entrance, is it four entrance, are the entrances by an elevator, are they at the point to a security-sensitive area, what are the hours, those are not variations that devolve from a standard, but those are what I call tailored solutions to fit the site. So if someone's trying to parse out what I mean by that, standards are great, standardization is great, but like a pair of jeans or an old slipper, it has to fit the site. Mm-hmm. And so there will be differences in my view.
Great. Yeah, I think that'll be very important as those different standards, but also site, right, that kind of tailored approach to each site get developed as we communicate, right, so that care team within those settings understand the why behind what their standard looks like and why it may not look the same as everywhere.
Right.
And really the whys behind that. So obviously, I think that'll be critically important as you, as the team you're pulling together and building upon, dive into that work.
Absolutely. And we want all our care team members to feel safe wherever they are. And that includes our care team members who go into our patients' living rooms and act and operate in the community, whether you're at a medical group practice, a clinic, an MOB, a hospital, any care setting, the common denominator. And we owe it to our care team members is that they feel safe. That is the standardization.
Yeah.
That's the North Star.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about this really important topic. And it impacts everyone at Maine Health. I so look forward to the work you will be leading for the system over the next few years to really create that safest environment possible for our care team and our patients, as you pointed out. And know that you will keep everyone updated and engaged as we kind of take our steps and slide from that 1.5 on the scale to a 5 for Maine Health. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, I hope that you found this episode informative and provides a deeper insight into one of our major areas of focus as we continue to enhance how we work together as Maine Health to achieve our vision of working together so that our communities are the healthiest in America. If you have ideas for topics for future podcasts, please email those to workingtogether@mainehealth.org. Thank you and have a blessed day.